Just bringing you guys in on a conversation. So Pat and I, we've been talking these last few days while we've been praying. And Pat, you there?
Oh, I'm right here.
All right. So we're going to bring you guys in and we're going to bring you up to speed on a couple things. Now, Patrick and I, we've been keeping up on some different things as we've also been praying and as also we've been looking at some of the geopolitical things going on right now. And you guys are noticing right now some of the breaking news that's taking place on some of the revelation. Now, we're speaking specifically in time in the context of the U.S. presidential election, which is taking place where you've got pretty much a clash of two systems that are for probably one of the first times that we've actually seen a true election in the United States. And all of the dirty games and the shenanigans and all the different things that have been played to try to rig and push the system a particular way. And now things are beginning to truly fall apart for the true side of the enemy. The darkest thing is out there, which has been the DNC and the witchcraft leader on that side, which has been Hillary Clinton, who there's plenty of stuff out there. Anybody who bothers to go actually look it up, her Larry Nichols, who used to work for her over in Arkansas back in the old days when Bill Clinton was governor, and she used to go off to covens and coven meetings. So she's a witchcraft practitioner in that occultic system, and you know, a lot of things that have been pushed forward in this way now trying to secure that last death nail for the United States system to try to put the witch queen in power. But here's the thing. God has something to say about all that's been taking place here. And he's been moving certain things and putting certain things in place. And now we're seeing a lot of stuff, not even 2 weeks shy of the presidential election, just falling apart on the side of the enemy. Interestingly enough, just a few days shy of October 31st, which is Halloween, which is the strongest occultic pagan holiday that they have in the U.S. with all the witchcraft stuff that moves forward. So interestingly enough that all this stuff is coming out and light is breaking forward even when all of this other stuff is... This is a time where the enemy usually is used to moving forward as strong as possible and putting forward all their spells and occultic stuff, but now it's actually backfiring, and this is a time where light is moving forward. Pat, what are you thinking, man, about the stuff going on?
Well, first of all, I want to welcome everybody on the show, and, you know, I mean, God is good. God is great. He moves in mighty way. And sometimes people on the other side don't think that God does move. He moves in a mighty way, and his own timing is always the right timing. And we have tracked this geopolitical situation with Trump and Hillary, the whole time. And the one thing people have to understand, despite who Trump is, and I mean, he is not perfect. We're not putting him on a pedestal. We're not saying he is the Messiah, but God has definitely used him. Using, you know, for his glory. And, you know, this is a guy that everybody knows. He did not need to be part of this run to be a president. He was well off. He had his business going on. He had money. He had, you know, he had some power. But no, he decided to stand for his country. You know, we have to remember that Donald Trump went and beat 17 people to get where he's at right now. 17 people. So he went to get 17 people. So he has a track record. But people talk and they say he is a racist, a bigot, a sexist. It's like a song. And I would say it's like they all memorize the same song. Right?
But they don't think, like, Pat, they don't think.
Like, it's like people got to understand that, yeah, he is not the cleanest man out there. But at the end of the day, he is standing for the United States. He's actually standing for the world. Because despite what we say, reality is this. It's just reality. If Hillary gets in, she has said she's going to go after Assad, which means that's Syria. Syria allies are Russia. So we're going to go to war. And you know what? Nobody wants to see people die. Nobody wants to see any Americans, Asians, African, Europeans, white, black, yellow, purple, tall, big, short, blonde, brunette, red, black, it doesn't matter, die. No one wants to see that. It is just not good. But we know this. If Trump gets in, he's going to make a deal. He's going to try to work with Russia. So we don't get to that place of a world war, because we do not want that. We do not want that. But just to go back to it, it is amazing how God is moving. And you know what? Me and Govinda, I've been talking for so long about this. It's like, for the past 18 months, it's like, you know what? At the end of the day, when the jig is up, when the lights come on, and there was full of mice in the garage, they all run out. They all run out, and that's what's going on right now. The jig is up, and the lights is on. People, you're going to see now. And I hope, you know, because people listen to this, you know, to this podcast often, and people from different walk of life, they're just like, at the end of the day, and we don't know if Trump will win or not, or we don't know that. But if he wins, there's going to be repercussions for the people that talked against him, that tried to connive against him. And he will go after those people. Better for them to come out in the clear now than to do it after the fact. Because after the fact, it is too late. And after the fact, too many people are going to try to do it. And you can't believe anybody. So it doesn't matter. Better to come out. Because some of these people have the means to leave the country, to go somewhere else, and to be okay, because they have the resources to do that. But 98% of everybody else that is in that pyramid will not be able to do that.
Nope.
And they're going to have to face the
Nope. Music. And the thing is right now, is what's going on right now, Pat, is that here it is. So we kind of mentioned this before we brought the recorder out. But, okay, so for you and I, brothers in Christ, on this journey following Jesus Christ, the thing is that you have your own relationship, your own connection, your own walk with the living God. He leads and directs your life. Same with me. So for God, he leads and directs me as an individual, led and guided by him as part of the body, doing what he has for me to do. But we both receive the message from the head, but we're not. But the way that it works with us is there's no one that has lordship over us. We just have the lordship of Christ over us, and we flow as the Spirit of God leads and guides us. There's a huge contrast between that and the way that the collective works, because in the collective, they only work well if the collective is moving forward. If the collective starts to fall apart, they don't know what to do. So right now, what you're starting to see is you're starting to see the chinks in the armor of the collective, and light is breaking through, and they don't know what to do. And now as things are starting to fall apart and the rats are starting to jump ship, they're all starting to try to figure out, okay, what do they do? What do they do? Where do they go? What's the safe space? And now, here's the thing. So say you're a corrupt journalist that's been pumping out lies, and now all of a sudden you're going to be brought to account for the things that you've said and the things that you've done. Or you're somebody that's made up a false allegation, thinking there would be no repercussions for you, and you've slandered somebody's character, and you brought something out that's not true or not legitimate. Now what do you do? Or now, say you go down the list of different things and different possibilities, and all of a sudden, if accountability, now here's an eternal lesson for people on this. Separate this from the election. Well, when everybody's life is done, you give an account to the eternal living God of your life and your time on the earth. And no one escapes that. Appointed unto every man is a time to die, and after that the judgment. That's what the scriptures say. So everyone has a day of reckoning. So if this is a case in point on a small shadow of what is potential, just the hint of this should be something for people to have some realization. So every one of us gives an eternal account for who we are in this life. And so now, for people to start freaking out, you know, of because everybody's one breath away from leaving this life. Everybody is just one moment away from that happening for themselves on a personal level. But this is incredible, the things that we're actually seeing right now. And we're seeing God's answering of prayers. We're seeing God moving on behalf of people that are engaged. We're seeing things being exposed that have never been in my lifetime exposed and shown and revealed. And this is an incredible, incredible thing. So, yeah, so Pat, so even like talking on a practical level, well, if you're talking about somebody that's coming in as a president, as the lead on an entity, he's going to come in strong, and he's going to come in hard, and he's going to come in with his people that he trusts and knows, and he's going to do a cleaning house like people have never seen before, because
that's what he has said. He said that I'm going to come in and I'm going to clean house. I will clean house. And people may think, if you are in a different country, that that's just in the U.S. No, that's going to affect the entire world. This next president will affect the entire world, and then people are going to realize, like, either hey, this person came in as a president and we had war. This person came in and the U.S. economy got better and the rest of the world economy got better. It is amazing. It is amazing for me to see, like, there has been so much proof about what some of the things that happened as far as what the Clinton has done. Like, we have made, and I could be wrong with that number, meaning on the lower side, they have made over $250 million in the foundation that they have. They have not sold anything. They have not.
Yeah, they've never sold a product. They don't have any forms of. Where does that income come from?
So all that money came for, not all that money, but a good part of that money. I don't want to say like all of it, but a good chunk of it came from not the United States. It came from outside of it. So just imagine, put yourself in that situation. You're running for president and you're getting support from so many different countries for you to win. Once you won and you're the president, the people that gave you money, they're going to expect something out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's just simple. Anybody can think about that, but if you come in and you run for president and you use your own money to campaign, you know, your own money. Most of the campaign money is from your own money. You only have to answer to who? To your own self. And that's what is going on. Some people don't realize that. Like, nobody gives you anything for free. Yeah, we like you. There's money for your campaign. No, they're going to ask you later on, hey, we did this for you when you're ready for the campaign. Now we want this. And now your hands are in pretty much handcuffs because you have to do what they tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that's the thing, Pat. So, like, and that's the way that it's been. See, like, everybody's just known, okay, if you've got money and you pay in, you access the system, you get what you want. And, you know, if you give X amount, you're going to get Y return on your investment. So for them, they're just playing it. They're like, well, it's just how they do their system, right? So if they give $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, they get $1 billion contract, or they get this, or they get that. So that's the way that they've always done it. And then these guys have had a media spin. So here's the link. So they get their face in the position of power, and then they've got their lock on the information. Not all the media outlets, but big chunks of the media outlets, right? Enough for them to control the majority narrative. And most people have been very lazy in their acquisition of information. They've been spiritually dead, so they don't hear the quickening of the Spirit of God to tell them something's not right, something's off. So they don't have that. They don't have that discernment, and they don't have the intellectual wherewithal to know what's going on. So those things together, so they've just basically been mind controlled. And then what does the enemy do? So then the enemy has the people within that pyramid and within that system, and then the commerce side of it and all the rest of it, and it's just a big fat parasitical tick just sucking the life out of the people that are participants in that system. Now what's happening is now it's breaking apart. So their information sources are being shown for being inaccurate. Their leaders are showing chinks in their armor. Their businesses are not being able to do what they usually do. So all these things are starting to fall apart. Pat, you remember the thing we talked about the other day too, was there's that con man from England. One of the things that this guy said historically was, and he was, you know, was one of these names, and this is on a TED talk I watched some time back, but this guy basically said the way that he would con people is he would look for what was that. He said everybody had something everybody was willing to give up something for whatever it was that they were hungry for. And that's how he would con people. And see, here's the thing. For the follower of Christ, what you're hungry for is the things of God. And that's what the world doesn't have to give you. You're hungry for to be walking with the living God. You're hungry for Him. You're hungry for truth. You're hungry for righteousness. You're hungry for what's real. And the world doesn't have that to give you. So that's why you're able to continue forward in the truth and persist. The worlders, though, so take somebody like Hillary Clinton. What's she hungry for? Throughout her entire life, everything that's ever known of her, she's hungry for power. So whether that means her engagement in the occult, it's just another form of trying to get power. If that means her political climbing, it's just another form of her wanting power. If that means the deals that she strikes, the way that she sizes up people, and the people that I know that have met her, they talk about that, it's because of power. And so for her, that access to power is, and that's why she just had this tenacious, insatiable appetite for getting to that place, and it is to her undoing. Because the other part of it too is that in that pursuit, she's destroyed not just herself, but everybody around her in this ruthless pursuit of power. And then she's also had to do the devil's bidding as a witch in that process as well. And she's actually enjoyed it in destroying countries and people and children and all the rest of the stuff that goes in that. Now, here's the thing, is that God has His say in the middle of all this stuff too. And it doesn't work for them to be able to, for them to try to, they, if you laugh at them after all of that, if they're supposed to be these terrorizing forces and you just pay them no mind, they have no power over you, it drives them insane. If they realize that you have another source. See, here's the thing. For the child of God, your source is the living God, not the world. Your value is in Christ, not the world. Your direction comes from Him, not the world. So they have nothing to offer you. But here's the thing, too. In the middle of that, we actually contain the solution. We actually contain the blessing. We actually contain the life. And that flows through the child of God. And they have no life in them. They have no solutions in them. They have no mind in them. See, we get the thoughts that come from the living God. They have to go with the collective. And so like you said, even when people talk about Trump and they talk about the things that are going on there or whatever, all they've done is just regurgitated and parroted the talking points that they've been programmed with, showing that they're nothing but mindless automatons, that they have no actual thought process for themselves. And that's why they don't even know what to do right now or what to say, because they don't have their thinking.
Exactly. I was talking to a fellow of mine, and you know, we were talking about Trump and Hillary, and people were talking, and I kind of waited, and we could see, you know, coming, oh, Trump, he's a bigot, he's a racist, he's a sexist, he's, you know, he's terrible in business. Then, you know, when they were kind of done, I went to them, you know, I'm like, okay, so I have to think, do you guys know how many businesses Donald Trump actually has? Like, currently has. And they were like, oh, maybe five or six or seven. The most they said was 10. I'm like, no, if you actually go look, he owns over 500 businesses.
Yeah, over 500.
Now, how many of the businesses have failed? They said, oh, and you could say. And I said, you know, about seven, under 10 of those businesses have failed under him, under his watch. So that means out of 500 businesses, 10 failed. Does it make you a bad businessman or does it make you a very good businessman? Would you invest money with him? If you had $1,000 to invest, would you go invest with somebody you don't know? Or you put money into Donald Trump knowing those numbers? Most of us would probably, you know what, I'm going to take my chance on Donald Trump because most of his business will work. So now you guys will call him a bad businessman. Just right there, I got that. Now, you guys call him a racist and a sexist. He works with multiple women in his, you know, for the, for his company, for people from different races. People that work with him are very loyal to him.
Yeah. Now, exactly.
You tell me, you tell me that he's a racist, he's a sexist. No. And, you know, that was happening when, you know, they're saying, oh, Donald Trump didn't do his tax for I don't know how many years. And, like, he doesn't even have, you know, he doesn't even, you know, even do, like, his tax. I'm like, you know what? Go online. Check it out. He produces 2013 tax, 2014 tax, whatever. And then they couldn't say much. I'm like, see, you guys don't even go and research it for yourself. You just take it from...
Yeah, you're lazy. People are lazy, Pat. That's the thing. You know what?
Okay. If this guy is this and he does that, you guys call him a sexist and his womanizers. If you guys see what Bill Clinton has done, and not just that, who defended him? So now we have even the worst of this. Hillary talks about how women need to be in power and you know, she respects women and women, you know, and all things about women. Last week, I think it was last week, anyhow, less than 10 days ago, Madonna comes out saying, I will perform fellatio.
That was so nasty. So nasty.
So Hillary, if you're Hillary, right, and you have... and you talk about women respect and women this, I probably would come out and say, you know what? What she said was wrong. I don't want to stand behind those words. And I would defend myself. But nothing came out. She didn't say anything.
No.
Because she should tell you, not that she doesn't, well, maybe she doesn't care, but she doesn't stand for what she's saying that she wants to do or stand for. She just want to appeal to the people.
Dude, that stuff, man, all it's done, you know, all this entire process has done has been revealed people. It's exposed people. It's showed people who they are, where they're coming from, what they're from. Like, even like those kind of things where people say, okay, this guy's bad in business. That's ludicrous. This guy has been on the Forbes billionaire list for ages. I mean, you don't get on the list of billionaires in Forbes for not having wealth, for not having equity, for not having assets, for not having financial power and prowess in this system. And Pat, we've done businesses before. You know I've done businesses before. I've had a number of things not work out. And I mean, like, people that consider, oh yeah, you know, Govinda might be good at this or might be good at that. I've had so many things that have not worked out. But thank God that I've had... That's part of what business is that you've got stuff that works out. You've got stuff that doesn't work out. That's, you know, you... And the people that are really good at it, the people that are really good, they've got a knack for knowing the things that are going to pay off, and they invest in and back those, and they do well. And if somebody does better at that, on the overall, they're a good business person. If somebody does worse at that overall, and they can't make it work, or they can't recover from their mistakes, then they end up doing what? Working for somebody else. So
exactly.
So most people who have never run a company, never run a business, never taken a risk before, end up working for somebody else, and they're on a 9-to-5, and they're doing all the kind of things like that. But that But and some people, look, some people also want the security of that. Some people want the stability of that. So it just, but if you are in business and you're taking the risks and you're creating jobs and you're doing that kind of thing, that's admirable in and of itself, because that's hard. That's, it's a hard enough thing to do in and of itself. And people, they've got to have that desire to create internally within them to even try to do that. But if somebody can do that and be successful at it even one time, that's incredible. You know, I was talking to a guy who was a Chinese developer who was here in Austin for this technology conference, and he's got this, you know, multi-million dollar company, and he was talking to me. He just said he had had a bunch of business failures, and now this company that he's the co-founder of is worth like $100+ million. And he said, you can have failure after failure after failure. Everything fail. All you need is one at a time. And this is a guy from China talking to me. That's me imitating his accent there. But he's like, you can have, and that's the point. Like with some of these guys with businesses, like they can be failures 90% of the time, 95% of the time. If they have one time and it hits well, they become an instant incredible success. Now, you take somebody like Trump, who, for the most part, has had a mind and a nose for business and has been able to create throughout his life. There's somebody that's got a gift, got a skill set. But you know what? The thing that impressed me the most about him hasn't been his business acumen and his business successes. It's been how he has stood up to this onslaught of all this evil against him for this last 18 months and just continued to go forward. That's been impressive. Because the thing is like so many people would melt under half of that, under a third of that, under a tenth of that. But he just continued to persist forward.
Well, the most people would have left after a little bit of that. They would have been, okay, that's it. Why am I doing this?
Well, yeah. He said he's gonna serve for a dollar. His salary is going to be a dollar. I mean, so exactly. What am I doing this for? And where are the people that are backing me? Where are the people that are supporting me? See, there's a lesson for people in this thing, too. You know, where if you are going to persist in whatever it is that you're compelled to do in your heart, for the child of God, whatever God's put inside of your heart, you got to be willing to go up, and even if everybody around you is not with you, you got to know for yourself that this is the thing that needs to be done, and you got to persist in that, because the opposition will be strong, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to discourage you from this. But there's a lot at stake. Can you imagine if Trump had dropped out anywhere along the way, and what we would have been stuck with right now? I mean, like the people that, the kind of leadership that we would be looking at right now, and the options that we would have as a nation. I mean, here's the difference. You've got somebody like Trump who is a builder, and you've got somebody like Clinton who spent her entire life destroying. And that's the contrast between the two. And so right now you've got a builder that is the potential to be the next president of the United States, that cares about this country and wants to do a good job for this place. And you've got that to contrast with as a destroyer. Now, you know, with this and with what's necessary, listen, people of God, that you've been with us in this journey, pray. You know, keep praying. Keep praying through this stuff. You know, here's the thing. Even if we make it through this election and God's merciful to this nation and we get a good leader for perhaps one of the first times in a long time that's actually at the helm, that's not the end of it. There's going to be a lot that needs to be done. But at least what it does is it gives this nation a chance, a Joseph period, to get some things in line and in order for something much, much, much better. And a chance for the generation that comes after ours, a lot of things can potentially be put right and made right. You remember the word, Pat, that I've been sharing set back from 2013, and part of the reason why God brought me back to the States. What was that word? It was save America, change the world. And we talked about it on the Zeph Report. We've talked about it on posts that we've made. There's been audios that have gone up. And I don't believe that God would give that kind of an instruction if it was not that he was intending to back it up and support his people in doing so. But it would be also, any time that God gives you a word, it is going to also come under attack. It's also going to be tested, and you're going to have to persist in that. Now, when we persist in something, what do? Well, you just keep going forward. You just keep moving forward. Even if you don't, even if you get beaten down, and even if every distraction of the enemy comes, you just keep moving in that. You just keep persisting through. And you bring it before God. You bring it before His feet. You trust Him in whatever it is that He's doing with you. You praise Him in the middle of that. You pray. You use the weapons of your warfare. You realize the battle is not yours, but it is the Spirit. It is not by might. It's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. You're moving forward in that. That's how you cut through this whole thing. And we, as a people of God, need to move forward in our God-given power, our God-given responsibility on the earth. Here's the thing. The meek shall inherit the earth. The children of God inherit the earth. This is our inheritance. It's not the worlders. The worlders have taken... The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means it belongs to Him. When we're engrafted into the vine, we're part of the kingdom. That means that we are co-heirs in Christ Jesus for the inheritance. The whole thing belongs to Him. So that means this is ours, not theirs. So the worlders, what they've done is they've given themselves over to that the prince of the power of the air, that spiritual kingdom, but it's a separate kingdom and it's a separate thing. And this is not their place. This is not their home. So they're parasites usurping power on a place that is not theirs. So the worlders are actually the ones that are thrown out and thrown away and discarded. There is no value for them. So in the interim time, the wheat and the tares grow together, but that doesn't last forever. That goes for a period of time, but that doesn't go on forever. So we've been in the trial, we've been in the fight, and there is definitely a fight on. But in the middle of all of this, God is accomplishing His purpose. Now He's giving His words out along the way, and there's things that need to be done, but it's not going to be the comic book version where people have sold to everybody in the church saying, okay, this is the way that things are going to be. It's not going to be that. It's not going to be what everybody thinks. Because when Jesus came and walked on the earth and did everything that He did, people missed it. John the Baptist missed it. He came, he went ahead, he spoke the truth, he did all those things, and then he sent his messengers. He's like, were you the one we were expecting, or should we look for somebody else? Because he was expecting the Messiah to come a certain way. This is John the Baptist. You know, the followers, the disciples, how many people left Jesus, walked away? And, you know, he turned to the 12 and he said, are you guys going to leave too in John chapter 6? And they were like, you know, God, where are we going to go? You're the ones with the words of eternal life. But even in the press, even in the garden, they ran away when the trial came. So many people that thought certain things should happen. Judas, the reason that he betrayed Jesus, part of it, it's called, you know, because he was Judas Iscariot. But one of the, some of the history of him was he was also a zealot, and part of the zealots, part of their thinking and their push was for a military opposition to the Roman Empire and the Roman occupation of Israel and Jerusalem. So they wanted to militarily get rid of them. So he was expecting the Messiah to be this conquering king. So part of his betrayal of Jesus was to try to manipulate and force his hand. Because he was like, okay, if this guy is really the Messiah, the deliverer, then I'm going to put him in a situation where he's going to have to move. He's going to have to do something. So he was, even in his own thinking, trying to force God's hand. You know, taking blood money and all the other stuff in the process. And then when he realized what he had done, you know, he went off and committed suicide, but it was, you know, but because he betrayed innocent blood. But he had his own idea too of what he thought the Messiah should be. All these people had their idea of what they thought the Messiah should be. And Jesus did his thing. And that's the thing, man, even right now and all the stuff that's going on, everybody that's had their comic book version of what they believe that God should do, but God is going to be God. He's not going to be manipulated by anybody. He's not going to have anybody make Him do anything. He's going to, you know what He could do? He could turn around and say, you know what? I'm just going to do something totally different. I'm going to wipe out a bunch of wickedness right now, and I'm just going to install a bunch of truth, and I'm going to let that run for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, and then we're going to look at this again. He could do whatever he wants. He's not bound by people's expectations of him.
And people got to understand out there that, you know, God is moving. And, you know, he's using the force of the foolish, right? And, you know, Donald Trump, if you think about it, he's part of the circle. And out of the circle, you know, he came out. And now he turned. And it's so ironic because nobody saw that. Everybody, think about it. 18 months of people like, there's no way Donald Trump came. There's no way. People like, no way, no way. And look where we stand.
Oh, I know.
Whatever, less than 2 weeks before the election. Like, here it is. Nobody thought that. No one thought that. And then we have Obama is having a great time in the White House.
Yeah, I know. Here we got Obama. He's got the country on DEFCON 3, although I think it might be back at DEFCON 4 now, but it was on DEFCON 3 when he was having his party. So he's over there with Usher. He's got DEFCON 3 over doubled the national debt before he leaves, which he was faulting Bush for doing 40% of what he's run up. He's collapsed the nation on so many different fronts for anybody that looks at it from any objective measure whatsoever. And he's got the entire Middle East in crisis. His wars broke out everywhere. Every day of his presidency, he's been at war. The Nobel Peace Prize winner. Every day of his presidency, he's been at war. And what's he doing? He's Nero fiddling while Rome is burning. What's he doing? He's out there dancing it up on the dance floor with Usher 2 weeks prior.
At the end of the day, nothing against Obama, but you know what? If the country is in that, you're on the brink of war. Like, Obamacare is...
Obamacare's really falling apart.
Terrible. Like, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be... I don't think you'd catch me dancing, having a party in the White House as I'm leaving, because... He didn't do a good job.
That's the point. Is like, you know, here's the thing. You did a bad job. You did a bad job. Just leave it at that. You know, you did a bad job. You failed the people. You failed the promises you made. You went in there, change you can believe in, all this other stuff, all this bullshit. And after everything's said and done, you failed. So, I mean, like, if you want to go have a party, Wait 2 more months. Have everybody over. You can have as much time with them as you want.
And that tells me one thing. That tells me that how much did he care?
He didn't care.
How much did he care? Because they may have done things in the White House and nobody knows. But nobody has seen it either. I don't think when George W. Bush or George W. Bush Sr., before he left, they were dancing and they got, you know, it was posted on YouTube or even Clinton. I mean, things are pretty much, you know, hush-hush probably. But the guy is out there, dancing on a Drake song, call me on my cell phone.
I know, man.
He's the president of
the
United States.
But, and the thing is, Pat, is like in the end, I mean... I get it. I mean, like, he wants to be he wants to be cool, and he wants to be this, he wants to be that. But look, you know, you can do all of that, but do a good job. You know, do a good job. Have some self-respect for what it is that you were the people that elected you and wanted you to be there. They put some hope. And this is what the devil does. The devil sets people up and will promise them one thing, but then we'll turn around and stab them in the back. So, I mean, and that's what happened. I mean, like, so Obama, the thing with him was that, and this is the way I've said it before, like, he reminds me of, like, a number two in an account servicing department in an advertising agency. That's what he reminds me of. Like, he reminds me of somebody that's, like, I mean, he's just basically just waiting for his instructions. He makes good presentations. He speaks really well. He's presentable. But, you know, in the end, after he's done, he just waits for the next set of instructions, and he's just out partying and playing golf and socializing, and that's what he enjoys doing. But that's really where he's at. But in the end, like, if you look at it, like, if you were really truly the commander in chief, if you were really truly engaged as the head of the company, the head of the corporation, the head of the business, the head of the country, all of that, you would be fully engaged. You would be like, okay, you would be on it. And the fact that he could be so unplugged from so much, for so much of his presidency, just reveals that, to me, that he's basically just waiting for his next marching orders. That you got guys like Soros and others telling him what to do. And so for him, his assumption is, hey, this is just, he's just been passed the baton from the last guys. You've got the controlled opposition. It's one to the next to the next. The problem now is if Trump comes in, and that's a changing of the guard, a literal changing of the guard in a whole different set of people and a whole different institution and people that aren't beholden to the guys that put him in power, and he could potentially be accountable for the things that he did, and if he's potentially accountable for criminal activities that he did while he was in office, that's a whole different world. See, before this...
And that's the thing people don't understand. It's just like, I mean, if this is the heat, these guys could probably, I mean, they could stay in the country and get lawyers and, you know, fight it off, but most of them, they're probably going to try to leave. They can't stay.
Oh, they're gonna run for the hills, Pat. That's the thing. A lot of these guys, the people that have the most to hide, the people that have the most to hide, that know that they're guilty, they're gonna be cutting out to countries where they can't be extradited back to the U.S. and they're gonna be running off with blood money. And you know, and just trying to get set up, but they're going to be forgotten. They're just going to go to those places basically to die, because, and you know, when they go to these places, look, you don't have a network there, you don't know people there, nobody likes you there. Like, you're just going to go there with a bunch of money that may or may not get frozen, may or may not get stolen, and you won't be able to come back to the U.S. Maybe they'll try to wait out the Trump presidency and then try to come out back after that. But if there's pending lawsuits, if there's civil suits or criminal suits waiting for them, they may never come back. But there's going to be a lot of people, if Trump comes into power, that are going to, they're going to be petrified because of all the stuff they've done that could potentially come out against them. Man, it would be a seismic shift if he comes into power. And just right now, the recent things that are coming out, I mean, here's the thing that's interesting for me too, right? So you've got WikiLeaks doing their thing. That's totally separate and non-coordinated from O'Keefe doing his thing, dropping his bombshell. That's totally separate from the relaunch of the FBI investigation that's taking place. That's totally separate. Then you've got, you know, you've got the campaign moving forward and a lot of people ditching the witch right now. That's happening. So you got all these, and then there's more and more, but each one of these things, what's incredible to me is that they're not coordinated at a natural level, but they're moving forward, and there's just this continual, it's almost like they're just being orchestrated from a realm of the spirit, and they're just boom, 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 boom. You know, so as soon as WikiLeaks, as soon as they like raided the embassy in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, as soon as they went and did that, well, while they're in the middle of doing that, O'Keefe is dropping the bomb, and the O'Keefe bomb could have been one thing in and of itself. It could have been damaging, but it's just sort of like these are just happening simultaneously, back to back to back. It's incredible, man. It's incredible because, you know, these are things that, you know, we may see five or six more things in the next 10 days.
Oh, who knows? We may see a lot more, but that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, how much those things out there that are going to come out, and then what if Trump actually gets in and he's the president? It's all going to come out, and all these people going from whoever did some YouTube about Trump, or the women that came out and said that Trump, you know, abused them or groped them, all these people, they're going to be affected by this kind of thing. And to be really honest, I'm pretty sure Trump is going to go after that. And once he does, they can't answer him because they don't have the resources.
Well, and not just that, but they also lied. Here's the thing. If you had like a situation like the women that were sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton, well, why did they never... Why did the ones that came forward that were able, that had the strength to make it past the intimidation, why did they continue to persist forward? Because they knew what happened to them, and they weren't going to back down, and truth was on their side. When people lie, they collapse right away because they know that they're not on the side of the truth. They know that they're lying, and so they collapse. And so these people that have been lying, well, now here's the thing. They're going to collapse so fast because they know it's been a lie, and now they're not on the side of the power. So if you are a liar and you're on the side where things are falling apart, you're doubly in a bad situation and in bad shape. Whereas for the people before, the people thought, okay, they can lie all they want because they're still on the side of power. But now what happens when everything switches and you're lying and you're also on the side of the losing side? Now what? I mean, these guys, the rats are going to jump ship. Oh, man. That's the thing, too. There's always that tipping point, Pat. There's always that tipping point where once things start to come unraveled and panic sets in, and, you know, that's kind of the thing that we even pray for, is we just pray that at this stage that panic sets in among their ranks and they start slaughtering and destroying each other. You know, we talked a little bit about that on the show with Zeph, was Gideon's army. And all they had to do was show up. And if they showed, when they showed up and when they did what God told them to do and what ended up happening, the enemy ended up slaughtering themselves. So that's, I think, how we got to pray to finish this thing out, brother, because we should close this one out for people that are listening in. But let's pray and let's just continue to keep this thing moving forward. But my prayer, and, you know, hey, I'll let you open it up, brother, and I'll close it. But my prayer is that God would let the enemy destroy themselves and devour themselves in front of everybody. All right, bro. Hey, let's pray.
Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you because we were able to stand the gap, Lord, for the plan that you've laid out for this entire world. Father God, we pray for more of you in their lives. Lord, every time we pray on podcasts or on different shows, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you cleanse us from all of our sins. You forgive us from all of our sins, all the things that we've done, and all the things we've said or did that weren't right. And Lord, we always want to walk with you, and whatever we ever do, Lord, bring us back to you. Bring us back to, you know, following hard after you. Lord, I pray for what's going on in the U.S. with Donald Trump, Lord. We pray for him. We pray that he will keep standing for what you've called him to be, Lord. We pray that, Lord, the enemy will just collapse. Everybody, it'd be like I talked about, you know, when you open the garage and there was mice and they would all run out and run outside because they don't want to they don't want to be discovered. And, Lord, to pray that, you know, if people got coerced along the way, or that they will come out, you know, before they actually, you know, face the consequences, Father God. But I pray for just more of you, or more of you in the world, more of who you are. And you will be done in our life. And you will be done in our life. You know, we don't want to go to war. We don't want to have to go to war, to World War, but we want your glory to fall upon us. But we want people to die, you know, just for ideology, or we want people to die for lies that they get told or anything else like that. But we want people to live for you, Lord. And again, I pray for all the believers in the world that they will stand, and they will stand in the gap, and they will pray. They will pray for the situation and what's going on, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. The kids that are going hungry, the parents that cannot find jobs to feed the family, everything that's going on, that, Lord, is pulling our society down, Lord, that believers will stand for it, and they will stand in prayer. and deal with that interaction, and they will not be afraid. They will not be afraid to stand. They will not be afraid to speak. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the podcast. And Lord, may your will be done in our life and in the life of the people that are listening. And for the people that are listening, Lord, I just pray for them. And Lord, you bless them. You protect them. Father God, that the ones that are going through some tough times, that Lord, you will speak loudly to them. And that Lord, I know you will. For the ones that are lonely and the ones that are thinking about ending their lives, that Lord, they will find you and you will speak to them and they will not act upon taking away their lives, Father God. For the ones that, Lord, are at the place where, you know, they're being persecuted because of you, Lord, that they will keep on standing for your glory. Lord, you give them the strength and power, Lord, to keep up, keep it up, Lord. Father, we pray for everybody that listens to the podcast, Lord, even the one that tried to throw arrows at us, Lord. And Lord, you know, they don't know what they're doing, but not just that, Lord. You will protect the righteous one and the one that are evil, Lord, that they will fall, Lord, that nothing will happen to you. The people that listen to this podcast, or us, and Lord, that you will cover us with the blood of Jesus. I pray all these things in your grace again. Amen.
Amen. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord. I come in agreement with my brother's prayer right now, Father, and I just, we combine our faith and the faith of, and with everybody that's listening in and people that are praying, Lord God, all over. And we just know, we're just encouraged by this time of prayer and fellowship and light and truth and your will being manifest on the earth. Lord, we're just grateful. Thank you, Lord, for calling us according to your purpose. Thank you for giving us direction. Thank you for speaking to us by your Spirit. And thank you, Lord God, for quickening us to pray in line with what your will is, and that your kingdom is coming and your will is being done. And Lord, you're working through your human agents on the earth such a time as this to accomplish and to be part of your purposes, Lord. And so right now what we pray, Lord, in these last 2 weeks going into the U.S. election, Father God, we pray for a couple specific things, Lord. One, we pray, Father God, for the complete and total collapse of the enemy at this time, the complete and total collapse of all of the enemy's systems, plans, purposes, all those things to be exposed, to be revealed, to be just shamefully revealed to everybody all over the place, for light to just completely just envelop and show and reveal all things, that they would just be beyond questioning, Lord God, to the shame of anyone that would even try to support the lie, that they would just be totally and completely and utterly ashamed. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for the complete and total collapse of the enemy's plans and purposes going into this election day, even all the witchcraft that they would intend over the Halloween time, that it would just fall flat and just be reversed, that everything that would be intended as a curse would be turned into a blessing for those that are the children of the living God, that everything that the enemy intends to do for evil would be working out for the good of the called according to your purpose. And Lord, we also pray, Father, too, that the enemy, Lord God, would destroy and devour themselves. Lord God, that the children of God would be able to see and to watch and to witness this happen, Lord, in front of everybody else, in front of the whole world. That, Lord, that they would collapse and devour themselves, Lord, even as Gideon and Gideon's army, all they had to do was show up. And when light shone forward, Lord, as those 300 lanterns were revealed, as those pots were cracked open and the lamps were shown, Father, and then in that revelation of the light, then all of a sudden, all of the enemies they lost their mind and they devoured each other and destroyed themselves. And the only thing that happened was the children of God went in and plundered and spoiled the enemy at that stage. But Lord, we just have to show up and to be there and be available. It is your fight. And Lord, we know that you are doing this. And so, Father, we want to thank you for that. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would also see and witness over this next 2 weeks, not just the complete collapse of the enemy, but the enemy destroying themselves to complete obliteration. Thank you, Father. Then we seal this in Jesus' name. We touch and agree in accordance with your word and with your will. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, knowing that it's done. Father, I pray a blessing upon my brother Pat, or upon Daniel, upon every listener, Lord, upon myself. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that we would be protected, that we would be guided, that we would be strengthened, that we would all remain in good health and good good understanding, quickened by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. We just pray for anyone that listens, Lord, everyone that intends ill intent towards, Lord God, your children. We just pray that you would put them in check and remind them, Lord, that they shouldn't mess here. Because, Lord God, this is your will, your plan, your purpose, and we're being carried along by you. So, Father, thank you. Lord, we just entrust each and every person listening within the sound of our voices, Lord, that they would be blessed and that they would know your plan and purpose and that they would just continue to follow you. In Jesus' name, we pray and commit all these things to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We go forward in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to, to remind everybody that at the end of the day, if you stand with God, that's all you need. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter what you've done. When you were praying, I just saw this, when Jesus was on the cross and there was the two people beside him, even at the end, the one guy beside him on the cross said, I've done wrong, but you've not, and you're in front of God. And, he went with Christ. He went with Christ. And the other one was like, who cares? And save yourself. And we all know where he ended up. He gives you empty chances to repent and to come. And even if it's just your last, before your last breath, give your last to Christ. Because at the end of the day, it is the best deal that you're ever going to make in your life. The best. The best, the best, the best. Because I can remind everybody of that. If you stand with God, that's all you need.
Amen. 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 And with that, hey, we love you guys out there. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Yep, Jesus Christ is the only way, and that's it. You got no other, and that's the game that's the only game in town, and it's the only one you want or ever need. So God bless you. We love you guys. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. All right. Bye.